One Denver Broncos rookie player could make his debut in a key defensive rotational package against the Jaguars this Sunday. Plus, Sarah and I, we go through our Broncos tail of the tape. We take a look at the Broncos offense against the Jaguars defense, the Broncos defense against the Jaguars offense. We break it down from a statistical category on today's brand new episode, Locked On Broncos.
You are Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What's up, Broncos country? Welcome back into a brand new episode of Lockdown Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast here on the Lockdown NFL Network, your team every day from the south stands to the end zone. I'm your host, as always, Cody Rourke, joined alongside co-host Sarah Bettinger. Both of us, we cover the Denver Broncos for the Lockdown NFL Network and 9 News. Just a reminder, this podcast is free and available everywhere you get your podcast, your favorite audio podcast and platform, not to mention video format on YouTube. So make sure you do us a favor, hit that subscribe button so you never miss out on a day's worth of coverage of all things Denver Broncos related content from an objective point of view. Sarah, my friend, great to see you. We're just a little bit about 3 days, 72 hours away from kickoff. The Broncos on the road in Jacksonville. We had a great episode with Tony Wiggins, yesterday's crossover between Locked On Jaguars. Got a lot to break down on today's episode of the show, my friend. How you doing?
Doing great, Cody. Doing great. Glad to see you. Glad to get to be talking Broncos. This feels like this week has gone by really fast. Like, I didn't get any fantasy waiver claims in this week. Like, I don't know what. It's just like the hangover from week one just like consuming me, I guess. But man, I feel like I missed out on some guys in fantasy. But at the same time, like you said, we're that much closer to the next Broncos kickoff, which can't be mad about that.
Well, you know, I'm going to coin a phrase here from Vic Fangio. Just the stuff that's happened this week, it's kind of been it's matriculated into our day-to-day, obviously, with the week going by very fast. A lot of content, a lot of stuff to talk about, and let's get into it on today's episode of the show. You know, Vic Fangio met with the media earlier today before practice had begun, and he talked about what the Broncos' plan was for the dime backer position, because he said Patrick Surtain, he's strictly going to play outside, and that the Broncos, they'd be finding another option for dime. And he mentioned a name that I feel like it kind of gets me excited, right? But also, I have to be realistic because he's a rookie, right? There could be a little bit of an aim point in terms of struggling. But he mentioned that Caden Stearns and Nate Hairston, both of those players have been working in the dime and will rotate in that position against the Jaguars this Sunday. I mean, obviously, you know, your thoughts on it from the standpoint of a rookie guy, obviously, versus Hairston, who's had success as well, playing that position here in the preseason.
Well, way back when, you know, we talked about some guys that we thought could be potential breakout players, and I took a little bit of a cop-out answer by saying I thought a Texas safety could be somebody to watch out for. And obviously, when the news of Surtain, you know, getting injured came in, or not Surtain, but Darby and Surtain switching to the outside, so Darby's injured, I was kind of thinking, like, who's going to take that role? Because OJ Moody is also injured. So to hear Vic Fangio address that today and be specific was a little bit surprising, because you don't often hear coaches just kind of say, oh yeah, this guy's going to do that. But I'm really excited, man, to see specifically Caden Stearns. Nothing against Nate Hairston, but obviously Caden Stearns, one of the most exciting players that we got to see in training camp and preseason, really showed off his athleticism, and the athletic talent has never been an issue with him. You know, the Broncos have even been pretty forthcoming about the fact that his second couple of seasons at Texas after a breakout freshman campaign just weren't as good. And whatever the reasons were for that, he's in Denver now. He's a Denver Bronco now, and he's getting an opportunity to play a really interesting role. You know, we only saw, 16 snaps from Surtain in week one, and the Broncos kind of played in that nickel alignment more often. But hey, if Trevor Lawrence is going to come out and throw the ball 50 times again in this game, you know, you're going to see plenty of that dime package. So I definitely am excited to see specifically Caden Stearns and Nate Hairston as well. You know, it's great for him to get an opportunity. He fought really hard. He made some plays in the preseason as well. But I think obviously fans are rightfully excited to get a chance to see Caden Stearns get a role on game day.
Yeah, you know, I think you're starting a rookie defensive guy against a rookie quarterback. Now, you know, he's a prolific rookie quarterback. But, you know, there's so many things I think the Broncos have to account for. Just the rotation, right? Because we saw Vic Fangio, they had to entrust Sang Bassey last year into the same role of playing that dime role when the injuries happened. So Caden Stearns, in my opinion, from what we've been told and what we've seen in the preseason, he's very smart. He picks up the defense well. It's just about getting those game reps, right? So I'm intrigued to see maybe how he does when it gets a little bit live fire and you're playing against guys like LaVisca Chenault and obviously DJ Chark. I think it's going to pose a great challenge for him. But what better way to rise to the occasion than your first game, right? Getting in the dime package, key situations, and proving that you are a valuable and that asset there for Vic Fangio. Something to keep an eye on there. But Sarah, our Thursday Broncos injury practice report, Broncos head coach Vic Fangio mentioned Graham Glasgow would not practice yet again on Thursday, obviously after dealing with some heart issues and more testing that's going to be done on his part before he's even cleared to be able to play, right? Because irregular heartbeats are no joke to the NFL, to medical staffs. So it's more than likely we will probably see Netanyi Muti this Sunday. I mean, if I had a hunch, a guess right now, there's been no official announcement on it. Just with him not practicing, it makes a lot of sense that Netanyi Muti is going to get reps. But Bradley Chubb, once again, Shelby Harris, and Shamar Stephen, both limited in practice on Thursday. And Vic kind of joked a little bit about last week about Chubb. He felt optimistic. He ended up not playing. But right here, I'm also a little concerned about Shelby Harris, who's dealing with a wrist injury right now. That's crucial if you're a guy that's trying to strike linemen and then get upfield, because wrist, you jam it the wrong way. I mean, it could really impact you in a negative manner.
Definitely, Cody. That's definitely one to watch for. You know, I think the fact that these guys are limited in practice shows that they're at least trending towards potentially playing. And like you said with Chubb, you know, we kind of thought that last week, and I kind of put together this conspiracy that because he got in trouble off the field, he was going to make that ankle injury heal up a little bit quicker, you know, just with his emotional fire wanting to prove that, you know, he can get back out there. But I think this week, obviously, the key piece on the injury report, besides the guys that we know are going to be out for an extended period of time, is Bradley Chubb getting back to the field, you know, and I don't necessarily think you have to throw him out there for 50 plays. But I mean, at the same time, look, everybody is ready for the Von Miller Bradley Chubb, especially after what we saw from Von Miller in week one, right? I mean, we want to see that duo out on the field together. I think if Bradley Chubb is 85% or better, I'd say go out there and play. You know, that's just part of the life in the NFL, isn't it, Cody? I mean, I know it's a long season, and I know everybody wants, like, you know, we want to preserve, like, his long-term health and things like that. And I get that, and I want that as well. I don't want Chubb to go out there and risk getting hurt. Don't get me wrong. But at the same time, you've got to be out there for your team. We know how critical these first 3 weeks are to the season in general. And every game is critical. But you know what I'm saying, Cody. We play the Giants, the Jaguars, and the Jets in the first 3 weeks of the season. You've got to come back for that Baltimore game in week four with a 3-0 record. So if you're Bradley Chubb, you got to be working towards playing this week, in my opinion.
Well, not to mention just the contract year for him as well. The more games you miss, the harder it is to make the case about being one of the highest paid guys at that position. And obviously with the TJ Watts deal in Pittsburgh, I mean, I don't think that Chubb would get anywhere near that deal, because he's not there yet. But what kind of deal would be respectable for the manner for what he has done so far, just to keep him long term? That's another talking point. But Broncos country coming up here in just a moment. Sarah and I, we're going to get into the tail of the tape. We're going to take a look at the Broncos offense against the Jaguars defense by the numbers. What can Denver continue to exploit that they've had success with so far after week one, so on and so forth? But before we do that, let me tell you about the sponsor of today's episode of the show. That's our good friends over there at Built Bar. You've heard it here a million times from me. My daily go-to is peanut butter brownie. Sarah had mentioned in yesterday's show that's something that's creeping up for him when it comes to Built Bar. You put it in the fridge or the freezer for about an hour, and I tell you what, you still take a bite into it. It is fantastic. For me, I like a little bit of hardness there, but all Built Bars, they're soft and they're easy to chew, not to mention they're covered in 100% chocolate. They're the best-tasting protein bar on the market. 9 amazing, delicious flavors, including grasshopper cookie, which is thin mint and fudge combination. You have that as an option for you at Built.com, not to mention the healthiest protein bar on the market, 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar. That is the best bang for your buck. And I want you and your family to try Built Bar today by going to Built.com. And when you go to checkout, make sure you use promo code LOCK15, and that's going to get you 15% off your next order. Once again, promo code LOCK15 is going to get you 15% off your next order at Built.com. All right, Sarah, getting into our tail of the tape here, the Broncos offense against the Jaguars defense here by the numbers, man. I wish Bruce Buffer could have introduced us just to be able to get things going, to set the tone here. I'm going to try to do it my best. But, you know, Sarah, looking at the weekly release packet, when you look at this matchup on paper, one thing that stands out to me kind of in general is last year, the Broncos, when it comes to turnover margin, they were dead last in the NFL. They turned the ball over more than everybody. They were 32nd. It's good to kind of see that they're tied for 13th, which, by the way, is zero. Zero turnovers, right? So they have more efficiency. And oftentimes, turnover margin is really equated to based on the number of times you score versus turning it over. Obviously, you had the Albert Okwuegbunam fumble. There was that right there. But for the most part, the Broncos come out ahead with a zero margin and a time of possession fourth in the NFL at 35 minutes and 8 seconds. I mean, I was glad to see that in week one for the Broncos.
Definitely glad to see it, Cody. You know, anytime you can come away even or above margin, I think it's absolutely huge. And that time of possession for the Denver Broncos, ironically, almost exactly going the opposite way for Jacksonville. They had almost the exact same issue in week one as the New York Giants did, with just the Houston Texans playing keep away all game, almost to the second here, which is pretty wild. So, but yeah, absolutely. You look at that number, and that's exactly why I think, you know, Vic Fangio selected Teddy Bridgewater as the quarterback, you know, to begin this season. It's apparent after watching him play, the high completion percentage, low turnover percentage. It's critical. It's critical for this team. You've got to win these first three games. We're one down at this point, but turnover margin is huge, and I love that. And I think looking at the Jaguars -3. I mean, you've got to be excited about that as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously a team for them. Last week, they turned the ball over at a high rate. Trevor Lawrence threw 3 interceptions. Don't think we're going to see that this week. But then again, anything is possible. I know the Broncos could really use some of those interceptions. It would be great in terms of the stat sheet when we talk about it. But, you know, Sarah, let's open things up with the Broncos offense. When you take a look at the numbers, what does it tell you about where Denver's at right now on the offensive side of the ball? And then we'll get into the Jaguars portion on defense.
Yeah, I think some key numbers here, Cody, for me, obviously 420 net yards as a total offense. And that split between the rushing offense, which was 165 net rushing yards last week. Good for fourth best in the NFL, which you absolutely love to see. 255 net passing yards, good for 17th, but we also saw a high efficiency there. So the yardage doesn't necessarily make a huge bit big of a difference when you're looking at just the fact of, man, the Broncos were able to achieve some pretty nice balance. I mean, 420 total yards from offense, 6.36, Cody, yards per play, which that was 8th best in the league in week one, and you love to see that. I think it was obviously a high-scoring week. Broncos coming in at 14th with 27 points. Obviously, too, a big, big deal for them. Third down percentage, despite the fact that they went for and achieved 3 fourth-down plays, Cody, 46.7% on third down, which was tied for 10th best in the NFL. So not only was Riverboat Vic, or whatever you want to call him, Vegas Vic Fangio, nailing it on fourth down, the Broncos were 10th best in the NFL this first week of the season on third down as well. So the one area of concern here, and an area of concern that I think people had for Teddy Bridgewater going into this game, 40% in the red zone converting. And of course, a huge reason for that would be Albert Okwuegbunam's fumble, which is out of Teddy Bridgewater's control. At the same time, you know, when you go down to that red zone, you want to convert those opportunities into touchdowns, not just field goals. There's nothing that I hate more, Cody, than Brandon McManus coming out on the field when you're stuck at the 2 or 3 yard line. And it's just a shame. It's a shame to see. But overall, just an outstanding week for the Denver Broncos offense statistically.
Yeah, and obviously a small sample size too. I think really for us, when we get back to these numbers and future matchups, I think once we even get to week five, the accumulated data, I think, will probably balance out a little bit more. We'll be able to see if Denver can maintain that growth. Now, I'm going to shift it to the Jaguars defensive side of the ball here, Sarah, kind of combating alongside those numbers you mentioned. Last week, they gave up 449 total yards. That's 29th in the NFL in terms of net yards. That's way too much if you're a defensive coordinator. I mean, I couldn't even imagine. If Vic ever gave up that amount of yards, which I believe came close in the Buffalo Bills game last year, it was brutal. I mean, so it just goes to show that the Houston Texans just gashed the Jaguars in the run game and the pass game, averaging, you know, allowing defensively 5.8 yards per game. That's, you know, good for 15th. Obviously, this is 1 week sample size. But in terms of points per game, giving up 37 points in your first game, that's 29th in the NFL. I mean, that is brutal. I mean, we go back to the Broncos offense, 27 points per game. That's 14th in the NFL in terms of the offensive side of the ball. That's crazy considering the fact that 27 points is quite a bit in obviously your first week one action, but obviously some of the other high scoring games between the Chiefs and the Browns and the Cowboys and the Bucks kind of highlight that a little bit as to some of the teams that are ahead of Denver in that regard. But another thing that kind of stands out in this game that I think that for us coming into this matchup, talking about it, I think the Broncos have to take advantage of it more. We saw Mark Ingram, Phillip Lindsay have success, and even Tyrod Taylor have success on the ground against Jacksonville. They allowed 160 yards on the ground last week, 28th in the NFL. We said it. Look, Melvin Gordon had that big 70-yard play. Denver, in my opinion, I think if they can come out and run the ball and get up on these guys, it's going to bode well for both guys like Melvin Gordon, Javonte Williams, specifically if you have them in your fantasy lineup. But that's something I'm really intrigued to see. Now, in terms of total net passing yards per gained allowed as a defense, 289, right? So if Teddy can kind of build on the same type of momentum he had last week and just dish dimes the way that he was, Teddy has a chance, I think, to go over 250 yards passing here once again, I think, against this defense. But there's also guys you have to account for. C.J. Henderson, obviously, heard from Tony Wiggins, the best defensive player at the secondary level for those guys there. I always have to keep an eye on him. Chido Bey Awuzie, if I'm not mistaken. No, no, not Chido, but Chido Bey's in Cincinnati. Shaquille Griffin, that's who we're talking about there. I don't know why I got those guys mixed up there, but forgive me, football fans, for that mishap there. But in terms of that defensively, the Jaguars, they didn't force any turnovers last week against the Houston Texans. So Denver, if they can come in and protect the ball offensively, they're going to have a really good chance to do some great things. Zero takeaways, never what you want to have. But when you look at the Broncos, they also only had one takeaway last week. So like I said, it's a small sample size after week one. But third down is intriguing to me because Jacksonville, they had Houston facing several third down situations, but they allowed 57.14% of conversions on third down. That's over half of their third down possessions. Obviously, you want to clean that up a little bit if you're a defense. So I think Denver can really take advantage, but it also goes back to favor, Sarah. If the Broncos can continue to move the ball downfield efficiently, I don't remember the Broncos maybe outside of one or two, maybe three plays, having a third and long. Usually they were third and short, third and medium, which I think is favorable versus what the Broncos dealt with last year.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Cody. That's going to be key. And I think you mentioned something also that's going to be critical in this game is the fact that Jacksonville not only gave up a ton of yards on the ground, but they gave up a lot of points to the Houston Texans this week. One key stat that really stands out to me about this game in particular is the fact that, you know, you mentioned we have a small sample size right now. Over a larger sample size, as in the last 19 games, a league high, the Jaguars have allowed more than 20 points in 19 straight games leading into this game against the Denver Broncos. That is absolutely brutal. If you're the Jaguars, if you're their defense, it's going to be tough. And when you're going up against an offense that we know the Broncos are going to establish the run, we know Teddy's going to do a good job of, you know, making accurate, timely throws. That's not a recipe, I don't think, for success if you're Jacksonville's defense.
Certainly not. And you want to kind of avoid that as well. I mean, that's brutal if you're a Jacksonville Jaguars fan. Like I said, you know, for me, Sarah, I'm a defensive-minded guy. I love 7-3 football games. You know, I hope that the offense could put up more. If I'm coaching a defense, I want the offense to put up points, and I just want to shut people out. But, you know, you can never pick and choose in the NFL. That's why we can never have any nice things. But Sarah and I, we're going to come back here in just a moment. We're going to talk about the tail of the tape, the Broncos defense against the Jaguars offense by the numbers. The tail of the tape continues coming up here in just a moment. But before we do that, folks, let me tell you about BetOnline.ag, the other sponsor of today's episode, Lockdown Broncos. And BetOnline is your go-to for all your college football and professional football action this year in the 2021 season. You get all the updated odds, props, and contest information at BetOnline.ag as they continue to be the number one source for everything football. And you can head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus when you use promo code Locked On. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. So don't forget to use promo code Locked On for that. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 football season. Bet online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Your online sportsbook experts. All right, Sarah, jumping into the fourth quarter. Today's episode, Lockdown Broncos. Just a reminder, Broncos country, you get this podcast free and available everywhere on your favorite audio podcasting platforms. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts right now, please do me and Sarah a favor. Please go and write a review. If you love Lockdown Broncos, leave us a 5-star review. Tell us why you listen, and we'll send you some love here on the podcast. Also enter you into some contests down the road for a future Broncos jersey of your choice. But not to mention, on YouTube, hit that subscribe button. Once we get to 5K subscribers, we're very close. We'll do a jersey giveaway for all the avid listeners all across Broncos country. We appreciate you guys for taking time out of your day to listen to both Sarah and I talk all things Denver Broncos. But getting into the tail of the tape here. Sarah, I'm going to open things up a little bit on the Broncos defensive side of the ball here, and we can kind of look at it from a perspective of the Jaguars offense. But coming away from that week one victory against the New York Giants, the Broncos right now in terms of net yards per game as a defense, they rank eighth in the NFL, only allowing 314 yards. Though I will throw this out there that if it wasn't for garbage time, if it wasn't for the Broncos playing a little bit of that off-man prevent defense, I don't think that they come away with 314 total yards. I think it would have been a lot less, probably in the 260 range, which bodes even better for the Broncos defensively when you look at that. Also, the average yards per play allowed, I mean, eighth in defense, 6.4 yards per play allowed. I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing, right? I think that statistic could be skewed a little bit. Points per game allowed, obviously 13 is good. Now, Sarah, I know exactly what you're thinking right now. Well, it was a garbage time touchdown. I don't necessarily count that last 6 points there. So if that were the case, it would actually be 7 points allowed on the season for the Broncos. So it's still good for tops in the NFL after week one. And in terms of overall defense against the run, the Broncos holding the Giants to 60 rushing yards last week, obviously between Robinson and Hyde, that was a key focal point. Can the Broncos minimize those guys' impact this upcoming weekend? We'd mentioned Shelby Harris dealing with a wrist injury, something to follow. Shamar Stephen dealing with an injury as well as a backup rotational guy could increase the role for McTelvin Agim this week against the run. So those are some of the storylines we're following there. But outside of that, in terms of overall net passing yards, the Broncos allowing 254 through the air. Obviously, a couple of big plays given up. Kyle Fuller, the 42-plus yard pass in the first series down the right side, that equates to it a lot. So if you eliminate some of those big plays through the air, I think Denver will be okay. But Trevor Lawrence, he understands where to go with the football. So it will pose a challenge for the Broncos defense this week. But I will say something that is promising, Sarah, is the red zone defense once again for the Broncos. They're seventh in the NFL, which means that there was a team out there that held a team to just an absolutely worthless total. But 33.3% allowed in the red zone. When you factor that in, if this was sampled across a 17-game season, the Broncos more than likely could equate to being the first overall red zone defense. It looks like they could be trending that way once again. And then outside of that, an area to kind of improve upon, 50% allowed on third down. Denver can't allow that type of efficiency, I think, against Jacksonville, specifically with Trevor Lawrence, his ability to hit soft spots against cover two defenses. He understands how to go against zone and man, and he's been trying to take some chances, as Tony Wiggins alluded to, in our Locked On Jaguars crossover.
Definitely, Cody. That's a situation that I think we're going to have to watch for, and you just mentioned it with third down and red zone. You know, that's an area where the Jaguars, obviously offensively, that's going to be key to watch, because one of the things that I personally think is what we have to look out for from this Jaguars offense is their group at wide receiver. And that's led by DJ Chark, Laviska Shenault, Marvin Jones. Those guys are tough. They're good players, and they're also different. But the Jaguars were 100% in red zone opportunities last week. Give them credit. I mean, they got slaughtered by the Texans, but they were 100% in red zone, and it wasn't like they only scored one touchdown. They had three touchdowns on the day. So definitely something to pay attention to there. We know that, of course, again, we reference back to the fact that week one is a small sample size, but at the same time, Vic Fangio's red zone defense has historically been very, 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 very good. And the Broncos proved that again this past week by forcing a fumble on Daniel Jones in the red zone right before the Giants were about to score. So offensively for the Jags, some key numbers to be looking out for here. Net yards from week one, 395, obviously not very good. And of course, Trevor Lawrence playing catch up most of this game, had to pass a lot of the game. So 319 passing yards, seventh best in the league. 76 rushing yards, Cody, which again, you look at these numbers and that really plays into Vic Fangio and the Denver Broncos defense's favor. We talked about that with Tony Wiggins on the crossover episode. Like, what's up with Carlos Hyde being the number one ball carrier in week one when James Robinson's coming off an excellent rookie season? I didn't personally understand that. I think the Jaguars might try to rectify that this week and go for some balance. The Broncos are going to have to be on top of their game there. 21 points from the Jags, 19th in the NFL, 5.81 yards per play, Cody. That's middle of the road, 15th in the league after 1 week. And of course, the big outlier on this list for Jaguars offensive stats is three interceptions. I don't think that's going to happen this week again, obviously, from Trevor Lawrence. Easy to say sitting here. I'm not a rookie quarterback in the NFL going up a Vic Fangio coached defense. So maybe he will throw three interceptions, but I think it's more likely, Cody, that we're going to see turnovers and takeaways created by the Denver Broncos via the fumble this week. I think the Jaguars only had one sack allowed this past week. Pass protection is not exactly the calling card and hallmark of this Jaguars offense. they have some, you know, they have some weaknesses there I think the Denver Broncos can exploit, despite the fact they only gave up one sack this past week. I think if you force them to be one dimensional, take away that running game, and you get Bradley Chubb out there on the field, even if it's just for 50% of the snaps, I think the Broncos have an opportunity to really create some takeaways defensively by hitting Trevor Lawrence and taking the ball out of his hands that way instead of intercepting it when he throws it downfield.
I know. Will we see an appearance from strip sack Miller this upcoming Sunday? The Broncos, obviously the early time zone game, 11 o'clock a.m. Mountain Time, obviously 1 o'clock Eastern Time. If you're a Broncos fan on the East Coast, both Sarah and myself will have you covered with a post-game report, Lockdown Broncos, after the game, up on the YouTube channel, all your favorite podcasting providers on Monday. But outside of that, Sarah, I'm looking forward to tomorrow's episode of the show, because now we get to talk a little bit about the players that we're keeping our eye on, players to watch, players who need to step up, and not to mention our keys to victory. So Broncos country, in the comment section down below on YouTube or on our Twitter handles, tweet us, comment, let us know who your players are that you're watching for in Sunday's game for the Broncos against the Jaguars, which players need to step up, and your keys to victory. And we'll share a few on tomorrow's episode, Lockdown Broncos, here on your favorite podcasting providers, free and available everywhere, and on YouTube in video format. But with that said, I'm Cody Rourke, host of Lockdown Broncos, speaking for Sarah, co-host of Lockdown Broncos. We'll see you tomorrow for a brand new episode of the show.